what it do, what the business is.
It is another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown. Animal_Brown if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and sometimes Snap.
I am Spike Lou on IG and in these tweet streets. Come holla at your boy.
All right, man. What's your
what's up? What's your nope. Don't. Do not. Have no idea. You shaking off that coronavirus?
Hey, man, we're going to talk about the corona, too. It's affecting hip-hop, and blowing it.
The streets was empty out here on the way to the yo. Nigga, it's like contagion out here.
Yeah, it should look
outbreak.
Nuts. Outbreak. Outbreak 5, too, by the way.
Outbreak is good.
What we got up, though?
Man, today on the On Deck TV podcast, is there trouble in paradise for QC? We talk about Lil Baby and Offset's potential scuffle. How will the rumors affect the label? South by Southwest is canceled due to coronavirus, and we're going to review the Jada Kiss album. But first... Your mans is back in the spotlight again for unfavorable reasons. Again, if you don't know by now, the baby clips have surfaced of him smacking a female fan.
Allegedly.
Smacking a female fan. He definitely came out and said it was him and he did it. There is no alleged to it. He gets booed off stage after this happened and people see the video. My question to you, is this the third strike? Is the baby out of here?
No, I don't. I don't think it's strike three for him because, like you just said, if you get strike three, that means you out. And I don't think he's out. It's going to take more than that. He's a little too hot right now. I will say what does need to happen, though. Interscope needs to be on the horn with him yesterday and get him on the first thing smoking to wherever their offices are in New York or L.A. because they got to have a sit down to go over what the fuck be going on because they're becoming more frequent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're not far and few between anymore. Like, it's relatively frequent that he's in the news for shit that's not going to make him any money. You know what I'm saying? So they need to holler at him about that, about his temper. He needs to see somebody, talk to somebody. He got to do something before it gets out of control, if this isn't already out of control. But because there's ways he can spin this. He's apologized, and she technically did. From the angles that we saw, it looked like she hit him first with a phone or something, whatever was in her hand. So he can spin this in a whole other way because you'll have that argument that talks about that. But I do want to have an honest conversation about what we saw and the reaction to it. As soon as you tell me if you think it's strike three for him.
I do think that it's strike three, and the reason being I don't think that his music is good enough for him to continue to act like this.
That bop banging.
Now, if he were... And people do still like him. I've said numerous times before that I'm kind of tired of the it sounds like one big song to me. I think that he's going to see the tables turn very quickly on him because of incidents like this. It adds to your image when you shoot somebody in self-defense in Walmart and they die. You beat a nigga up for fucking with you in the Louis Vuitton store. Okay, we get it. You're about this life. When you start roughing up the people in the hotel lobby because they took a picture of you and then you apologize for that. When you start smacking women, then you apologize for that. But then you're offering a ransom of $10,000 for somebody that shows smacking. Like, bro, we don't want to hear it. And people that are not, like, that are fringe hip-hop fans, the people that he needs to continue to be the number one artist that he is, for Interscope to even give a fuck about him, to invite him to the office, like you're saying, I don't think that he has the talent to do that. And now people just going to be off him. We've seen an early example of him getting booed off the stage. This shit is going to continue because there's so much evidence out there that he just doesn't give a fuck. And if I'm Interscope, I'm done talking to you. Like, we've had this conversation 5-6 times, nigga, dude. After you shot the nigga in Walmart and killed him, Interscope should have been calling him if they had any vested interest in his future.
No, Interscope called him to sign him after that happened.
Well, that's cool, but that should have been the last time. Interscope should have been very clear about that, but it wasn't. And I don't think he has the talent for the outside shit to continue to propel his career.
Now, he can make records. Like, whether you feel like they sound the same or they don't, he's got records and he can make them and they're on the radio and he's on features that are on the radio.
I don't think he has the talent. He can make a record or two, but I don't think that the sound, like, sounds change. Things change.
Sure.
His sound is in now. I don't think that he has the durability to change his sound, keep people engaged, and stay out of trouble. That's a lot for him.
That's true. That's a lot to juggle. Can we agree that the outrage has been overstated?
For smacking a woman?
For smacking a fan who hit him
in
the face with a phone.
Smacking a woman on your
way. The outrage has to be more consistent, bro. Like, let's be honest.
You're going to get this outweighs universally when you smack a woman.
I know. I understand that. But what I'm saying is.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Listen, as somebody who grew up in a household with, like you grew up, I grew up with house rules, you know what I'm saying, with home training. So it's easy for me to sit here and say that I wouldn't do anything like that because it's not in my character. And I'm sure everybody is sitting at home saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're coming off stage and you turned up and you're at a club, it's late as hell, you may or may not have been on some drinks, turned up, whatever you may or may not have been on. Bro, if you have a bright light in your face from somebody, who knows if he could even have seen who the fuck it was. That's what I'm saying.
You sound like an apologist. Like that. All of those things could be correct, but you're still not excused for smacking the shit out of somebody on you. Like, you're not there to smack nobody. Like, the light could have been as bright as it was in his face. He could have got hit in the face with a phone shit. It could have knocked his tooth out. But you sign up for this, my nigga. Like, you can't walk through this like and not get touched. I listened to Lil Baby. Clarification, the two different people. I listened to Lil Baby an interview with Big Blank on his podcast talking about when he walks through the crowd. And he was very specific about how he moves through the crowd. He said, I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want my security touching me, their security touching me. That way I know if a fan run up on me, then I need to go ahead and brace myself and let them be known. He said he don't want all the commotion around him. I bring that up to say the baby always got commotion and all of this bullshit going on around him. So, yeah, you have to act defensive. You need to attack these things before you get in this club. Like, those things are right, what you say, if you got a plan. Clearly, this nigga don't got a plan if this shit keeps happening to him. How you keep going out and niggas keep running up on you and you got to shoot niggas and you got to beat niggas up?
You're one of the people, bro.
Nah, it's not.
You're trying to be close to his fans. Everybody, when you see somebody walking with 10, 6'8" bodyguards, and you can't even see the nigga. The nigga already short. Like, you can't even see him.
Right, so, like, that should be all the more incentive for him to know if somebody got this far in. Like, you can't smack people for getting close to you, bro.
Where was the outrage? What I'm saying is that when Nipsey slapped dude at BT, it was funny.
It was a man.
So that's cool now?
Yeah.
My man, come the fuck off.
Fam, you cannot smack women, bro. What are you talking about?
You can't smack nobody,
man. Yeah, you can't smack men for disrespecting you. Niggas, that's okay. That's what you
nobody
need.
Nobody needs
on.
To smack anybody,
listen,
my nigga.
Men can get the shit smacked out of them in their mouth if they need, like, if it needs to be where you disrespecting somebody. Newsflash, you can get the shit smacked out of you. A woman shouldn't have to operate under that same premise.
That, all I'm saying is if a dude hit him in the face with a phone.
It wasn't a dude.
No, I'm asking. I'm saying if he hits him in the face with a phone and he gets dog walked, nobody's saying a word.
Wait.
That's what I'm saying.
You're wrong in the sense
I don't believe that.
You're wrong in the sense that he got a track record now. Like, niggas gonna be like, oh, again? Like, you could, if this was
one and done.
Yeah, if this was nigga, give me, if this was Gunna, if this was like somebody new and this was the first time happening, you're like, damn, like, what's up with that? You're not gonna read too much into it. Clearly, this nigga
got
anger problems.
Issues.
Something wrong. And it should be clearly stated to security, whoever's moving with him, managers, homeboys, whatever, how this needs to go down and people need to stay away from him. Like, that should be it until that's clearly said by him or somebody close to him. Like, I don't see him continuing to be successful.
I just think it's easy for people to say what they would do in a situation when they're home in the calmness of their house scrolling through their phone
the
couch.
Those people,
that's not all I'm saying, bro. But you don't know what's happening when you turned up and you going on stage and somebody push you and somebody, like,
man, this is your job though. This
not,
is,
but that,
like,
don't mean, but he's a regular dude though at the end of the day.
It's still his job. Like, it doesn't matter if he's a
niggas
regular
fight at
dude.
Waffle
like,
House, nigga, that's their job. But, to work at Waffle House, that don't mean they don't fight there.
But they're regular people that have of high profile jobs. You have to be accustomed to the high profile things that happen in your positions. Like, Barack can't be like, shit, I'm a regular dude. No, my nigga, you're the president. Same thing with Lil Baby. Like, you can't walk through a crowd and expect people not to react if you're the number one rapper allegedly in the game.
I'm just expecting,
like,
people not to hit me in the face with a phone, bro. That's all I'm expecting.
I don't know why you would expect that. Why would you expect that? Like, people are going crazy. Like, you see how people act these days with social media and all the wild shit that goes on. Your expectations should be, nigga, I'm ready. I got a battle when I'm out here. I don't got to hit nobody, but I got
to
protect
That's
myself.
Like people that go to shows and throw shit on stage. Like, why did you put the energy even to go into a show so you could throw a water bottle on stage? And then motherfucker, you do that because you think when nothing happened to you. That's what that's what I'm saying. People need to be talking about that. I'm taking the gender
out
of it.
You're mad that the fan, you didn't.
I'm clearly not mad.
I'm not mad, but you are raising question to the fan having the capability and the access to smack him.
The outrage needs to be more consistent. That's all I'm saying.
I think anybody would have been mad at that artist for smacking that fan.
I don't think
man,
so.
Woman.
No,
who do you
so.
Think could have got away with
if that? If that was a dude, nobody would have cared. It'd have been funny.
That's not true, man.
I'm just saying.
The Nipsey situation had context to it. This context was, I just don't like people close to me, and I did this to a hotel guy, and I did this
and
to a nigga
I got
in
the
movie
face.
Store. Okay.
Who hit Nipsey in the face?
I don't know what happened.
Nobody, motherfucker.
It was, hey, you disrespect. He disrespected somebody, and he deserved to get the shit smacked out of him. And when you're a man, you got to operate under that premise. A woman shouldn't.
That's toxic.
You can get hit in your mouth as a man. It's like people, men need to know that.
In the words of Emeka, that's toxic masculinity. I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah, you can't even get that out.
Moving on, man. Lil Uzi Vert. It's been over 2 years between his last project, Love Is Rage 2, and his new joint, Eternal A Take. The album has been riddled with false starts, label feuds, but it's finally here. And the numbers are stacking up to get Uzi his first number one album. It looks like it's projected to sell over 300,000 first week. Did we underrate Uzi's star power?
Absolutely not. Uzi is a superstar. I think that just because his music doesn't translate to me, my age, I don't discount or discredit what he does and the impact that he has as a fan. I see it online. I see it when he deals with other artists. It's like he's a superstar. Goes to... I mean, you can kind of tie it in with Megan's case, though. Like, he's been going through the same thing that she went through to get to this point, and boom, he bopped out the gate with what he sold. So he was worth every penny of the negotiation that he wanted to have. I don't think that Megan was as successful in what she did. Have you knocked his success?
No, I knew he was a star. But you never know what's going to happen when you've got your version of Detox and that people are waiting on, and it's supposed to come out here, and you pump fake here. You don't know how long the fans are going to hang around. So I'm a little surprised. 300,000 is a lot in 2020. Like, that's a lot of shit. So I'm a little surprised at that. I didn't think the numbers was going to be that inflated. But no, I don't think we're overrating it. Even though we're not talking about him, he's been out of the loop a little bit, dropped a single here and there, but nothing that really we need to be talking about. So, but it looks like the fans stuck around and they were anxiously awaiting this. It's been 2.5 years since his last project, which did like half of this. It did like 160, 170, right, give or take. So I don't think I would have seen this coming. If you'd have asked me a week ago, what do you think this is going to project? I would, no way in hell I would have said 300. I would have never said that shit. Although he is a star, he just needs to get his shit in order with his label so he can get out here and be the face of some shit. Like, you don't really see him that much. So that's why he's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But the fans didn't go nowhere. So kudos to him. That's super dope, though.
Yeah, it is. I think that's in his personality that you don't see him here a lot. He signed with Roc Nation management deal, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so. I'm not sure. I don't know. What him and Hov was beefing about. Well, Hov and Trauma.
I could
stand to see him out there a little bit more. And
he's an interesting dude. So I don't know if we need interviews from him or not, but it wouldn't hurt. And apparently he don't need it anyway.
Yeah, he signed to Roc Nation
management
last year.
Yeah, all right. Shout out to Uzi, man. Did you like it?
I have not listened to it.
You check it out, man.
Absolutely not.
Make you feel young again, man.
No,
I'm 28, so I'm
no
right.
Desire to feel young again. I love my age. I'm right.
It's not bad though. It's nice. He got good energy records on there. It's some bullshit on there, but he got some good energy.
You listen
joints
to him before you like him better than Young Thug?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Really? Why?
Yeah, easy. Bro, Young Thug not good, bro.
Young Thug is a legend. A legend, I tell you.
On that note, what we got next, man?
Next, what we're talking about is the South by Southwest, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Due to the coronavirus, a.k.a. the Ronies, the South by Southwest is being canceled. Do you think this is a big blow for the culture?
Yeah. Now, this is a blow for the culture because that's one of the biggest music festivals, obviously, in the country. That Coachella, like them right up there.
Yeah.
But it ain't bigger than a blow to the economy down in Austin.
That's
I know they hot about that. And it's also a big blow to artists who, A, were going to go pick up a bag. That's a missed out bag. Or B, underground artists who were looking at that as an opportunity to get in front of some people and to kind of get their wave going. Because there's people that got discovered and got the baby got his shit built up.
Walking around in a diaper. In a South diaper. By Southwest.
Yeah. Exactly. So that just halted some young person's maybe moment. So I feel for them too, man. Like people plan for a year for this shit. Like they pressing up shit, got promo shit. And that kind of sucks that they won't get a chance to do it. But I understand the... I understand why it's canceled. I'm not going to sit and second guess. I get it. Because South by Southwest don't want that press.
They definitely don't want the press of it spreading there. Oh, they don't want the coronavirus outbreak starting in South by Southwest. I agree with you there. It is a blow to the hip-hop community as far as a lot of people get their breaks there. You mentioned the baby. Sway Lee was talking about how they shot No Flex Zone in the streets of Austin. A lot of people.
Big jump to
that was a big jump. A lot of people get breaks. Vince Staples created South by Southwest to him getting his big break. So it does put a halt to the organization of that festival and everybody being at the same time. But I think hip-hop is a culture that can adjust to things like this. Unofficial parties, people can still go there.
Technically, yeah.
Technically, still go. It just won't be no official stuff. And that's a part of what hip-hop is, adjusting on the fly. I'm not sure how safe it would be because of the coronavirus, but I do think that people can still, get what they need done, still network the same way. And South by Southwest was thinking about rescheduling it, so it may not be just a lost cause, period. But I know the people of Austin and South by Southwest patrons want that reschedule because they want this to happen. It's a big melting pot for a lot of tech and hip-hop stuff.
Are they overdoing it with the corona talk, or is it warranted?
I think it's the news, in my opinion, my conspiracy theorist opinion, the news is doing this to drive the economy to where it is now, as you mentioned. And Trump's main bragging point has been the economy and how good he's made it. So if the economy shifts, he's not going to be able to say that I'm getting all these people these jobs and the economy's doing great, hence a Democrat being able to replace him. That's what I think's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody a bad motherfucker if they orchestrate. No, I don't know. I don't know how.
Well, I think the media can orchestrate. They can orchestrate it.
But what do they get out of it?
Trump out of office.
They get ratings with Trump in office, though.
You're gonna get it with him out too. Not as high, but you're gonna get the whole process of Trump being replaced and a new presidential thing. That's people like. Well, not like people tune in for Trump, but people also tune in for new shit too.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I think real quick before we get to Lil Baby and Offset, I think that it's not overstated, but because this one of them things where, let me put my lab coat on. Mm-hmm. This is one of those diseases or one of those, whatever, that if you get it, you don't know you have it for like 2 weeks because you don't show symptoms.
Right.
And in those 2 weeks, you're moving around like normal life.
Giving it to people.
And you're passing it to everybody. If this was one of the ones where you got it and 2 days later you were dead, it wouldn't be spreading like that because you'd be effective. I mean, you'd feel it almost immediately. So in that instance, I understand why, again, South by Southwest is putting a stop to this because that's a lot of people coming from different parts of the country and they think they're fine and everything's cool and you really got that shit on you and you come down here and you fucking spread it and next thing you know it, South by Southwest is on CNN for being like the biggest, like the container of fucking,
they should have just put stipulations on it. Well, they can put stipulations.
How? You can take a test?
Well, old people are susceptible to it and dying from it. People who have pre-existing conditions, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, like weak immune. It's like the flu, bro. Yeah. It's basically the flu,
and it ain't
going to
kill you.
Yeah, nah, it's not. So, yeah.
That's I'm riding.
Dr. Lou.
I mean, I'm just going by what I've seen on TV. If they wrong on TV, I'm wrong.
Fair enough. Man, lastly, before we get to this break, man, let's talk a little Baby and Offset. Now, rumors of infighting over at QC hit the streets last week. Word is, allegedly, Offset got into an altercation with some of Lil Baby's crew. Mm. He did not win. He didn't come out on top of that altercation. Now, Lil Baby did take to Twitter and say the rumors were false, but the streets say differently. Now, we're not going to speculate on whether it's true or false. We ain't got time for that. But let's hypothetically say it was. If you're P or Coach K, how would you handle the situation?
I think true or false, there's a situation to be handled by P.
Mm.
This all bad, all press ain't good press. And I think that you had a situation where P, when he introduced Baby when he's on Breakfast Club, he kind of introduced him as, hey, this is my homeboy, not more so an artist, but this is family. Mm-hmm. And I think the Migos, just from an outside perspective, they look more so like artists. They look more so like employees. And in order for him not to show favoritism here, if something did happen, I think that he has to come out and address it. Like, you have to come out and say something. It can't just bubble because this didn't come from nowhere.
You talking about come out in public?
You got to put something on Instagram to address that this is not what we do at QC as a label. Like, he needs to reassure people that this didn't happen, even if it did. Now, to feed to the conspiracy theorists, Lil Baby did have an album release party at the compound on the 29th when they said that this happened. And the reason that people are drawing these conclusions is because some grainy video footage out there has some guy that had the same shirt on as Lil Baby in the scuffle that was happening. You couldn't tell who none of these people was, so how they got Offset and Baby from it. I'm assuming that it was people that were there, and then they told somebody, and you know how that shit go. You play the telephone game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you never know what really happened. It's supposed to stem from something that happened between those two guys and a robbery, I'm hearing.
Okay.
But with that being said, there is no truth to it that we know of, but I do think that Coach K and P would have to address this in a serious manner, because you want people to come to your label, and you don't want them to think that you're showing favoritism to Baby because he's hot right now and Migos have kind of had that chance. So you do have to do some politicking, and you got to do some cleaning up if you are P.
Yeah, no, nah, I don't think you got to make no public statement.
Okay.
Especially if it's not true. Let's be honest, we live in 2020. The news cycle comes and goes. It's a much bigger issue going on in the news cycle right now that people are talking about. So this is one of them. Lil Baby saying that it's cap. He tweeted it was cap. That's really all that's needed. Mm-hmm. Like, he may have made the call to make sure Lil Baby did that. Now, that's what he need to do. Hey, bro, get on the horn. Get on Twitter, man. Say this shit not true. Let's keep it moving. That's it. Luckily, he had the Breakfast Club interview, which I believe was recorded last week, because you could tell by the tone of it. Or either that or
did you watch the interview?
I did.
Did you get anything from it?
No.
Didn't they ask about him or something?
They did.
What they say?
Because they asked him, because there was no QC artist on the album. Mm-hmm. And so Charlamagne was like, damn, why weren't no QC artist? He had a song with City Girls that he ended up giving to them. And he had a song with somebody else that he did with Quavo that they ended up giving to somebody else. So there goes the QC features right there. And they asked him about Yachty. He went more into detail about Yachty than anybody. That's how I know this was recorded prior to the rumors hitting maybe New York. Because I don't even think they really just got coverage like that. You know what I'm saying? Might just been bubbling a little bit downhill.
What'd he say about Yachty?
He said that Yachty, when he first got in the game, Yachty was the one who was next to him, put his arm around him, showed him the ropes. And now that Baby has risen to where he is, he doesn't have time to kick it with him like that. That's basically what he was saying. I ain't got time to kick it with him like that. But and he thinks that he may be taking it a certain way. And he wanted him to know that it's not like it.
Interesting.
So he didn't talk. I feel like Charlamagne, we all know, if he would have gotten word of any of this rumor fighting shit, he would have been the first one that he probably would have kicked the interview off with the shit. So yeah, he didn't do that. So I don't think it's nothing there, man.
Interesting things to see and to come.
Absolutely, man. We're going to get to this Jada Kiss album, Ignatius. I really hope I'm saying that correctly. Don't go nowhere. We'll be after this.
What's going on, good people of On Deck TV, Hip Hop Land? It's your boy Big Jeff from the Full Sport Press Podcast, featuring myself, J-Hove, and Weezy each and every Monday. Once you finish this action-packed episode of the On Deck TV Hip Hop Podcast, make sure you check out FSP. So don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend.
And we are back, Shaman Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou. All
right, man. We got Jada Kiss.
Aha!
That was a terrible. Jada Kiss laugh.
Y'all like that impersonation.
Oh, my God. We've got Jada Kiss's fifth studio album. I would have thought he had more than that. You would have thought.
As long as Jada Kiss been around, you would have thought that.
But I forgot half the years was group shit.
Yeah. Two Locks albums and one solo album.
Yeah. Well, Two Locks and one solo. You got fifth. This is fifth solo.
I mean, excuse me, damn. I meant five, like you said.
Yeah.
Captain Correction.
Absolutely. All right. Ignatius, named after his homeboy, Ice Pick J, that passed away in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of his life and his career. He was an A&R over at Rough Riders Entertainment, and then also was a record producer. Helped Jada with a lot of shit. He said he found them hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would keep him on his shit about health. He would keep him on his shit about just regular everyday thing. One of those indispensable friends that you got that keep you on your shit. So it was a big loss when he lost him. So much respect to that. But coming into this album, what expectations did you have, if any?
It was Jada Kiss, so, you know, he a rapping ass nigga, so you can always expect dope ass bars, and that's what I was looking for. That grit and that grime that comes with the locks is another thing that I expect when you get a Jada Kiss album. And I was excited to have continued this wave of our older artists.
Bingo.
People from our generation coming out with great music, and I was excited for that sense alone, because I'm, like I say, Jada Kiss is one of my top MCs.
Yeah. No, I had medium expectations as well, just for the same thing, man. And he put out a video with Ross about a month or two ago that I don't think anybody but me saw.
Yeah, he sent that to your house.
Yeah, I don't. He ain't promo that shit or nothing, but the song was fire, though. I was like, damn, this shit hard. Like, it sounded like a Ross story. It sounded like something that was meant for Ross. But then, you know what I'm saying, he probably did. He was like, man, Jada was like, man, let me get that.
You got the screen on back of that.
So, like, and obviously Jada's nice and all of that shit. But I'm going to be honest, I'm not sitting waiting on a Jada Kiss album in 2020. Like, he's not in that point of his career where he's must-see TV. Or I'm sitting like, damn, when is Jada going to drop? You know what I'm saying? That's no knock. It's just not where his place is in the culture. With that being said, I listened to it, and I was definitely digging it at first. I was digging it a lot at first. I was fucking with it heavy. I thought he made a very age-appropriate album dedicated to his homeboy. Mm-hmm. Like, you mentioned the artists that are of our generation. I like how they have figured out a way to carve out a lane for themselves.
Whether you call it contemporary rap?
Yeah, contemporary hip hop, you know what I mean? That's a perfect title for it. I feel like him, Jay-Z, Royce, they all find dope concepts to craft projects around that give them something to say. And although it's unfortunate that this is his partner that passed away that gave him something to say, but I think you can hear remnants of it all throughout the album. The same with Royce, you know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all check out Patreon. We're going to get that Royce review up real soon. But I feel like it's dope that they're finding ways to do that and are not just rapping young nigga shit. That would have been lame. That'd be, or even just old street shit that we know, and it's like, bro, that can get old. So you need to find something to rap about, and I think he did with this album. And I was fucking with it when I first heard it.
Cool.
You didn't seem excited when you first heard it.
I absolutely was not.
Wow.
I don't need him to throw a hoodie on and take us back to 98. That's not what I was looking for. I respect the adult grown up rap as well, and I think Hunting Season is a perfect example of what I mean. Like, you ain't got to be killing a nigga in every song or whatever it may be, but there's a certain tempo and tone that I expect from Jada Kiss. And to me, this was like a little too lighthearted. I understand that it was in respect to his homeboy, and like, that was the focus of the album. All of these beats, he said, were picked by his homeboy.
Oh, word? Pick.
Yeah, he picked them before he passed.
I know that.
And he used them. I think I heard that on Insta Real interview. And I mean, it's definitely a tempo and a tone. It's older, grown man rap, but I feel like it's kind of Jada Kiss light, like diet Jada Kiss. And at this age, I get it, but there's still, in my opinion, from someone who knows him from the Locks days and Kiss the Game Goodbye, they left something to be desired. I wanted to hear a little bit more of Hunting Season and things of that nature from an age-appropriate perspective, of course, and less of Catch and Release and Keep It 100 and those type of focuses, because if we're talking about age-appropriate things, I think people kind of took the 444 model of Jay-Z.
Absolutely.
And the apologizing to his woman with Beyonce, and people kind of taking that, they've modified that in different ways.
Mature music.
It works for some people, it doesn't work for others.
Yeah.
But Jay-Z it works for. I think Fab tried this, and I'm thinking that Jada Kiss is trying this, and it doesn't come out the same.
Well, I think Jada, first of all, if you're doing an album dedicated to your homeboy, I don't know if I need 12 songs with Pusha T with all just gangster street.
Well,
I'm just hoodie music.
A
shit.
Perspective. I like Royce's album and Jay-Z's album because they give a perspective, and it's not off.
They better rap
from what Jay-Z.
Both of them.
And that's fair, but they ain't like you saying
they're
it's like Jada's a scrub.
Yeah, nah,
like,
nah. But they
Jada
they
Kiss,
are, though.
You would think by now, and that's my point and probably my problem with the album, you would think by now he has the ability, as good as a rapper as he is, to kind of put it all up and wrap a bow on it. And I just didn't feel that way about this album, is what I meant.
I mean, Cheetah not going to change his spots, man. He can be 60. He's still going to be
I'm
Jada.
Just telling you why I don't like the album. I don't care if Cheetah changes his spot or not. I just think that takes away from him at this age.
What did you like? Were there highlights on the album?
Hunt Teaser was really good to me. He's rapping his ass off as well on there. I wish he could have expanded upon the subject matter. Just had a different, more perspectives. Like, I can listen to a Styles P album, and Styles P still gives me that Locks feel with an adult age perspective. Like, Styles
That's
P ain't talking about going to hit niggas over the head with baseball bats. But it's still a perspective and what I expect from Styles P, and I just didn't get that from Jada. He is a little bit more mainstream. But what I did like I said, is the Hunting Season. That was really dope to me. I think he did a good job with the features. The Ty Dolla $ign, I liked him on that record. I'm always here for a 2 Chainz verse. I didn't like it at first, but I did come to like the 2 Chainz verse. And I like Ross' verse.
Fat boy in better shape than I've ever been. Got a team full of hitters, no need for letterments. Pack the cream in the luggage, can't leave no evidence. Jesus' pieces be flooded like it was heaven sent.
In a room full of demons, how can we make amends? He took a chance and took a stand, you gotta check your mens. Ray for Lemon in 86 and I'm living that. Mercedes full of 80 bricks, look where I'm living at. One eye open like I was Fetty Wap. Two Glocks on me, pulling my Betty drop. Big belly rude boy, yes, I top shot her. Bumba Clot, you pussy hoes, go and suck your mother.
So I did like the features on him. Yeah, what did you like?
And real quick, before we get to what I like, the Hunting Season, you know, this the album was actually supposed to come out last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Hunting Season single came out last week or a week or two ago, and they pushed it. They kind of took it off Tidal and off the internet because due to the Pop Smoke situation, they didn't want people to get the art confused with that. They just thought it was bad timing, which I can respect. So the album was supposed to come out last week. We got it a week late. I thought that was respectful to Jada. But what I liked the singing on here. The hooks were on point. And I'm talking about, and normally when somebody has a whole bunch of singing on their shit, I'm like, man, bro, come on, man. We just did this with Fab. Fab Summertime Shootout album sounded like he was swinging for the fences, a home run on every damn song. You got Hitmaker featuring Chris Brown, Ty Dolla $ign, and all these A-list R&B singers. And we were like, fam, like, you're doing too much. This one, I didn't get that. I got the, and maybe because he didn't have all A-list R&B niggas on there. Like, he had people I had never heard of. You know what I'm saying?
Except for John Legend.
Well, except for John Legend, for sure. But that wasn't a commercial record, though. So, you know what I'm saying? So, that didn't even hit like that. So, I liked he was making real nigga music without using auto-tune too much. Like, again, he, and we'll get to it on my lowlights, he tried it on here. But it's easy for somebody of his age with his son who's in college telling him, he's, and his son is down here in the A. He's telling him what's popping down here in the A. It's easy for a nigga like Jada to try to be cool, try to relate to his son and shit and get out here and do all this goofball stuff. But he didn't. He kept it age appropriate. My favorite joints, Catch and Release, are that song is fire, nigga. Like, and it's a crime he didn't list dude who's on this singing because he bodied it.
Yeah, sounded good. I just didn't like the subject.
Government Cheese with Dej Loaf, fire.
That's a highlight to you?
Man, that's banging. Oh, are you serious?
Oh, this shit was trash.
This nigga's ill.
Ooh, that was big trash.
And the song I Know with John Legend, who demolished it.
Seen things in me that I ain't seeing myself. We built something, you going, now I'm seeing it melt. And it's crazy because the Lord knows I needed your help. Damn.
John, first of all, John Legend might be my go-to hook person on any type of rap song.
That's a fact.
I'm like, he can do it all. Like, that nigga cold. So, those are my three favorite joints, even though I had several on here.
Jesus.
What didn't work?
Well, I liked Hunting Season, and I like, well, I already said what I did.
Yeah, we know. We know you like Hunting Season. Shit.
What didn't work for me was Keeping It 100, Catch and Release, Me.
Me?
Yeah, all of that shit. Like, I don't need another why from Jada Kiss. I said that's when this shit came out. Like, I don't need another why. He's did this already, and it's part of the problem that I had with the album. It's just like, it's a rerun, dude. Like, give me a new episode. And I don't think that he did that. So, me, I didn't like.
Me.
Government Cheese was absolutely awful.
Nah,
I think he needs to do
them.
A better job with Nino Man and his crew.
They ripped it.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
I'm finna check that Nino Man out. He ripped that.
He ain't got a lot of stuff online. Ironically, somebody was telling me about him a week ago.
He dropped the ball, Nino Man.
Yeah, he ain't got a lot of stuff online. He got a lot of stuff on YouTube, though. But I wasn't feeling any of the ones that I just named.
My lowlights, Keep It 100, auto-tune Jada is so not needed. We don't need that. Even though if it was light auto-tune, it wasn't heavy. Don't even think about it. You tried it. Stop. That's number one. I thought Hunting Season was cool, but it didn't fit the album. It didn't fit the tone of that. Why is that even on there? It's the only song that sounds like it.
It's on there because Pusha T absolutely obliterated your boy again.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We keeping them stripes clean over the Adidas. We want it pure, nigga.
I ripped that, though.
Pure. Let's go. Headshots.
It's not a headshot,
it's
but he ripped
headshot.
It. Yeah, that was cool. But I've heard better versions of that song. With Jada. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not hitting the same, bro.
18 Wheeler was better than that. It's similar to that. We had Pusha T on it.
Oh, with Pusha T and Benny.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Was that Gibbs? That was Gibbs. That's the one he had with Freddie Gibbs. That was 18 Wheeler.
I thought that was Benny the Butcher. That was Benny the Butcher.
What's the song with Pusha T and Freddie Gibbs?
Oh, and Killer Mike? Yeah, that's something different. That's Palmolive.
That Palmolive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sounds similar to me.
Yeah, these are all the same damn song. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, we've
he
heard
had,
that.
He should have had an album full of that. That's what he should have did, nigga.
And we
I
also
don't wanna, man, I don't want to hear Jada Kiss at his age talking about his side chick and catching, like, bro.
Hey, it be like that.
Yeah, that's cool and all. For niggas didn't want to do that, but like, I don't want to. I don't need Jada Kiss talking about Catch and Release and to keep it 100s like that. That was on the first Jada Kiss album, or should have been.
Now I will say that the first half of the album is the weaker part. But when you get to the joint with 2 Chainz and then you go...
2 Chainz ripped it.
When you go 2 Chainz, song with Ross, song with Dej Loaf, song with John Legend, and in the last song, nigga, those are fire. Nigga, that's 6 songs in a row that's banging.
That's not true.
Man, that's just not true. Run. That Dej Loaf song fire, bro. That's hard.
I don't like that song. I don't like how Dej Loaf's... I've never been a big fan of her sound. It is unique, but I've never been a big fan of her sound.
Yeah.
And it's... There's one song where if you could add a feature, I can't remember what it is now, but 50 would have murdered.
In what year?
The hook. 2020.
Nah.
I can't think of it because it sounds just like 50 on there anyway, but it's Jada Kiss singing it. It sounds like he did his best 50 impersonation. He shouldn't have just got 50. I'm mad I can't think of what that is right now.
Nah, I did not like the song with Ty Dolla $ign, though. That's the single. That's the Fab. That's not like a Fab throwaway, a Summertime Shootout throwaway. And he was like, nigga, I need a single for the radio. Nigga, why? No, you don't.
No, you don't need no single.
You don't need that,
Jada Kiss don't need no single.
Jada Kiss don't need no song. With that nigga still on Def Jam.
That's crazy. Universal Music Group and Def Jam.
Nigga signed a 30-year deal with Def Jam, dude. Now, he's
just
on
got
record.
5 albums, though, you said.
That's true.
He's so only he got probably albums. Still in a 6-album deal. For the last
especially
25
back then,
years.
Dude.
Goodness.
Hey, but he did come out and say he has no intentions on signing with no independent.
He said he's not doing all of that work.
He didn't want to.
Because him and Styles P are both, they on different sides of the coin from that. Styles P said he want to do all that work to get all that money.
Yeah.
Jada Kiss like, give me my little shortcut and I just kick my feet up and rap, my nigga.
He was making $250 off that AI commercial. He ain't need to.
Yeah, like
you gotta be independent.
Jada Kiss getting money. He's getting good rap money. So
if you had to give it a rating, where is this Ignatius at?
2.5 reels.
Wow.
2.5, and I'm being generous.
Stop.
How many reels do you give it? I'm being very generous.
It's banging, man. It's
this
3.5.
Jada Kiss light. No, it's 2.5.
This is definitely.
You said it like I gave it 1. And he said it's 3.5. You gave it a half more.
I said 3.5.
Oh, you said 3.5.
Jada Kiss can rap too well to make anything under 3.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
This is 2.5. It didn't. It wasn't a lot of effort in this. Like Jada Kiss can roll over and do this album 15 times. Give me something new, man. Like spark my interest. Give me a perspective. Like in a perfect example, if you're like, well, what are you looking for?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Allegory. I'm looking for something not exactly like that, but in that vein. Like tell a story. You're at the age now where you've been doing this long enough where you can put a different spin on it. People can get a lot more from the music.
He don't rap as well as Royce da 5'9", though.
Fam, all it takes is to get some niggas around you with some creativity. It's what teams
you want
are for.
Ghostwriters, nigga?
No, creativity. Didn't nobody write that shit for Royce, but I'm sure he didn't come up with that idea by himself. You think that Kendrick came up with Good Kid, Mad City and To Pimp a Butterfly by himself?
Nah, he's got a trusted. He got a trusted team.
That's what I'm saying.
But
Jada Kiss needs those people.
Niggas not Drake.
He needs
for
to
that,
hire
though.
Those people. Hey, what?
Niggas not Drake for having a team.
No,
though.
No. Drake.
It's cool.
No, Drake brings people in. Hey, rap the song for me.
Stop.
Cool. I can put my sauce on it and say mine's after a couple of things, and it's going to go platinum. Kendrick is spitballing with niggas, and they coming up with great ideas, as we'll get to later.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Kendrick in just a second, man. Y'all let us know what you guys thought of the Ignatius album from Jada Kiss. How many more you think you got?
That's it.
He's 44.
That's it.
And you thought he was older than that, though? I did. I'm not going to lie.
That's not about right, though.
He's 44. He's got 5 albums. You're telling me that city's hanging it up after 5 little bitty ass albums?
Yes.
Wow.
How many more you want from Jada Kiss?
You gotta give me.
It sound like this one he didn't want to do. Shit. If his homeboy hadn't died, you would have never got this one. Shit. So me asking for anything more would be a stretch.
Y'all let us know, man, what y'all think. And don't forget to Patreon, guys. We do all album reviews on there. Patreon.com/Realville. You can hit the link in the show notes right now to check it out. We'll be doing that, Royce, on there and a couple other joints,
that's
man. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Chill.
Hey, what's good, people? Hoping you're enjoying this Jada Kiss review from your guys at the On Deck TV podcast. Do us a huge favor if you rock with us like I know you do. Go to patreon.com/realville and support the real, man. You'll get super dope content, all right? Album reviews just like this. We've got Royce coming up. We've got Boldy James coming up. We've got several dope reviews on the way. Make sure you keep it locked and subscribe. Hit the link in the description to support the real. Yeah. We are back. It's your man Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou.
Man, we got some wins and some losses. What we got?
First win to the Street Execs team for the posthumous release of the Bankroll Fresh debut album, In Bank We Trust. Another W because it's better than that Jada Kiss as well.
Wow.
Tough.
Shout out to Bankroll Fresh. Rest in peace, Bankroll Fresh. Long live Bankroll. I was
Street.
A big Bankroll guy, but this album, it's you can't really just grade this like how
it's
you
banging.
Want to.
What are you talking about?
Nah, it's not.
Yes, it is. What are you talking about?
He's got so much better stuff than this. And we wouldn't have, you want to talk about not seeing the light of day? What? We don't hear this, you know what I'm saying, if he wasn't obviously not here to put
you
it out.
You're basing this shit off what could have been. Based off what you've seen, this shit is banging.
Nah, it got like 3 on there, maybe 4.
Oh, wow.
And that's my guy.
That's sick.
So it hurt. It hurt me, man. Y'all, run back that Life of a Hot Boy mixtape, man. Bankroll Fresh. It's a classic. This is you had to put it out. I'm glad they put it out. It's definitely a W. And they put it out on the anniversary of his death, but you know what I'm saying? It ain't. Unfortunately, it's not his best.
I need to do a true crime podcast about rappers' death. That would be fire.
Who need to be on there, though?
I don't know.
Dobie.
I think it'd be a lot.
Unfortunately.
A lot of them.
Just Young Greatness.
Man, you can do all of them.
Damn, I ain't asking.
That'd be fire.
That's killing. Hey, we might have to edit this out.
Yeah, we might take.
Because we know that they be listening.
Keep our IP here. We need to keep our IP. Another W to Kendrick Lamar and Dave Free for launching their service company, the PG Lang.
Okay.
Initiative, service group, whatever it is. Did you see the commercial?
I did.
Kendrick coming, nigga. Benny voice.
I saw that Kendrick deleted all of his Instagram posts,
yes.
Put up a trailer for a new service company.
Yes, an album.
No.
An album.
A service
an
company.
Album.
What the fuck is it servicing?
He said
what
that they this? Are, it's a creative
company.
People that do podcasts, creative design, similar to that thing that Dame Dash had going on in New York when Currency used to be, I can't think of the name of it, which is all the creatives got together and they put creative shit out. It's going to be creative space for podcasters, artists, rappers, studio space. You know, we went to the Black Pod Collective thing?
For sure.
Something like that.
Where's the album, though?
It's on its way.
Are we sure?
I don't know why you're rushing it. You want him to kill Aubrey? You want him to kill you? You want him to kill Mons?
Rushing it.
You want him to kill Mons this summer?
And the nigga been out of commission for 5 years.
Y'all niggas going to be mourning when Mons is dead.
Man, listen.
You think going to be up at the embassy just sulking around, dude, dropping cherry Jolly Ranchers every fucking where. Now, Kendrick coming, nigga.
I ain't going to lie. I seen this, and he did it with Dave Free, who was the former.
That video fired. That commercial fired.
No, the video was hard.
He was the former.
President?
President of TDE.
Yeah, and he did all that. He used to do all their videos and all that. So I'm glad to see that he's still with the company. Because, man, we talked about that.
No, well, he got his own shit.
Well, I'm saying he's still in the mix with them.
Kendrick. Him and Kendrick are friends. I'm not saying he don't fuck with the rest of them, but he and Kendrick are friends.
Well, it's good to see him and Kendrick are still have a working relationship because he I feel like he got the best out of him. You know what I'm saying? He stretched his creative limits. And I'm interested to see what this is. You know what I'm saying? I'd much rather have heard an album announcement, but hey, PG Lang will work too. Shout out to that.
Keep waiting for him to end your boy career. End your boy hot summer. It'll end your hot boy summer for Monsnum.
It'll never happen.
Yes. Another L to Megan Thee Stallion.
Two E's.
Her appearance on First Take. Despite being a Rockets fan, Megan Thee Stallion had no clue who Mike D'Antoni was.
Oh, man.
Also, and she knows James Harden personally, she said on the show. So she's going to talk to him and he's going to do better.
I see, Meg.
Also, her project, Sugar, underperformed. 30K first week.
I mean,
renegotiate that.
Listen, it was an EP, first off.
No matter. If I'm Carl Crawford, I'm God damn it, I'm making all kind of phone calls.
It was an EP. It
doesn't matter, man.
When it comes to streaming.
You
want to
renegotiate, you selling 100,000.
There's 9 songs. You can't only stream so much.
Listen, man, if I'm Carl Crawford, I ain't got nothing to do with none of that. These numbers right here don't look like renegotiation numbers to me if I'm Carl Crawford.
Well, this goes to show that everybody can't just drop out of the blue. People still need promo out here. I get it. It's 2020. We're not going to Best Buy to get CDs anymore.
Right.
But that everybody's also on that Beyonce, Drake, or Kendrick. You have to have some type of promo.
She had it.
No, what?
Free Meg.
No.
That was the promo.
For 5
days?
They
robbing me. Yes, they robbing me. Get people to talk about me for 5 days.
Man, that wasn't even trending. Mm. Like, you gotta promote your shit. And her single wasn't really, it was okay. I'd rather be your B-I-T-Z. Like, it was okay, but it wasn't really just moving the needle like that. As you can see, 30K is light.
Very light for Meg Thee Stallion.
Very light.
Especially if I'm trying to renegotiate a deal without an album.
And more details came out about her deal, too. They get 30% of her. She gets
40%.
No. They get 30% of her touring. Yeah, which is nuts. And she has to pay for her shows
studio
and stuff out of pocket. No, and
studio time.
And her shows.
What do you mean, like travel and stuff?
Yes. All of that comes out of her cut.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
That deal garbage.
It's not. It's a standard industry deal. Everybody that's looked at it has said that. That's not. Like, just because she's Meg Thee Stallion now doesn't mean that these things change.
So you're a lawyer and a doctor on this episode.
Nah, I'm just telling you what I've read. You read a little bit more, you'll be able to speak confidently about these things as well. I'm just telling you what I've read, man.
Leave my boo alone, y'all, if I come see you, Carl.
Listen, Carl Crawford, he ready for you. He ready for you, Meg, whoever coming. Hove, holler at him. 1501.
Man, we got an On Deck of the Week, man. This week, it's Little Baby, your boy.
Shout out 4PF.
He went to his old high school, man, Booker T. Washington, and donated 150 large Booker to his T. old high school.
I think that's where Killer Mike and T.I. went to.
Young Thug went there, too.
Really?
Yeah, Young Thug is 1 year ahead of him. I can't remember. Baby said it on Breakfast Club, but he's 1 year ahead of him. I thought that was super dope. He also announced the My Turn Scholarship.
That's real.
That he awarded to a lucky student that is going to Dartmouth. Bonus points, tell me where Dartmouth is. Because I don't know.
New Hampshire, and it's an Ivy League school.
Ah, that's what's up, then. I see Booker T.
I don't
Washington.
Know if New Hampshire's right, but I do know it's an Ivy League school.
I will say this. I watched his whole Breakfast Club interview, and you see a lot of growth from when he was on there the first time a couple years ago. And I thought it was super dope because Charlamagne, because he said he dropped out of high school. And Charlamagne was like, when you went back to the school, did you shit on you like you're old? No, he said, did you have any teachers that kind of talked down on you and said you wouldn't be shit and all that type of shit because you was dropping out? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, I mean, it was one or two, you know what I'm saying? The principal was kind of on me about shit, you know what I'm saying? He got me locked up, he got me blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, okay, so you must have shit on him when you went back with this 150K. He was like, nah, man, that's not the attitude you gotta have when you go back and do stuff like this. Because he wanted the principal to see that somebody could be
how he was
and turned out to be what he is. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a super dope answer. Much respect to Lil Baby. I'm becoming more of a fan each day. On top of that, his album is still riding.
He also has an interview similar to talking about those things and how he brings up his artist and his process in developing the people that have signed to him. And the reason that he makes a purpose to come back to Atlanta after every show. He said if he got a show in Texas and a show in Cali the next day, he going to go to the show in Texas. He going to fly back to Atlanta. Then he going to fly to Texas, well, to Cali the next day. And he said the reason that he does that, because he wants the people around him and the people that are still in Atlanta that can't make it to be able to feed off of him, to know that he's successful, to see that you can do it and make it out of the place that he's from. It was a really good interview. It's on the Big Facts podcast with Big Blank Black. Y'all check that out. But it was a really good interview. And as you said, like, I've been a fan of Baby, but listening to those things and hearing his maturity at this age, and what he's doing with what he's turned into, it makes you like him even more.
Now, I respect it because Charlamagne showed try to bite him. Man, you can shit on him, right?
Yeah. And Dartmouth is in New Hampshire. I'm just that deep.
Lucky fucking guess.
Actual factual loot. That's me. Yes.
Hey, man, y'all do us a favor. Go to the Facebook group Rap Chat. Search that. Join the conversation. We always take it offline. onto the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Also, subscribe to YouTube, man. YouTube.com/Realville. If you're watching, hit that subscribe button and that like button. Thumbs up.
Nominate your own Deckers of the Week. Let us know what you thought about the Jada Kiss album. Respond to some of the quick hits that we had. Man, we want you guys to join the conversations. Like you said, go to Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Leave your likes and comments. And also rate, subscribe, and like on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Most importantly, engage with us on YouTube.
Yeah, man. I got something to put you on before we get out of here. I went to the movie. I haven't been in the movies in a minute.
I don't believe
it. In like 2 weeks.
I don't believe you.
So that's a long time for me not to be at the movies.
Yeah.
I saw
keeping the lights on at AMC.
Tough. I saw Invisible Man. It was tough.
I don't believe you.
What?
I don't believe you.
It looked dope.
No.
It doesn't
Invisible look. Invisible Man. I ain't even seen the preview. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, fuck.
No, I've never seen it.
It looks super. It was super dope, though.
Really?
Yeah, check it out.
Mm.
You got to put me on. Shit, Corona. All right.
Corona. Uh-oh.
Where's my mask at?
Man, I want to put you on. For the drinkers out there, I don't drink anymore, but I heard something interesting this weekend that all vodka is the same, regardless of the price point.
Mm.
Due to FDA federal regulations, all vodka has to be distilled the same way. Therefore, there are no differences in the grapes and all of that bullshit that they sell you. It was a Freakonomics radio podcast, and they gave the guy who even invented the marketing for the brand of vodka, and he died like a while ago. But I really found that interesting that you can market one thing and put in all these different, like hundreds of vodka brands, and it's all the same shit in different bottles.
I don't believe that.
That's a fact.
Top shelf and lower shelf,
all of it's the same. It's a distillery. It's a distilling process to where bottom shelf shit comes out quicker. It don't leave it in there as long, but it's the exact same shit.
That should give you a headache.
It's the exact same shit. So put you on that. And Jemele Hill Fonte from Lil Brother was on there. It was a 2-part episode.
That might be good.
That was good. They was on there niggering it up.
I don't know what that means. What do you
they
mean?
They was acting like niggas. They was giving you nigga commentary. They said it on there. I just took it from them.
Fair
they
enough.
It was like giving you feedback on Bad Boys 3. I haven't seen that, so I skipped that.
Bad Boys 4.
And 90 Day Fiancé. Do you watch that?
Oh, 3, yeah. No, I don't. But everybody talk about this shit. I don't watch that shit.
Like 90 Day Fiancé. They was going crazy about 90 Day Fiancé.
I don't watch that shit. Shout out to M Extra. He watches it every day.
Of course. Of course. M Extra watches that.
Man, on that note, we out, man. Peace.
Yeah, we out of here.